Hello everybody and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. This show airs at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. We are under the Twitter handle artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark, Lisa, Nancy, and Betty Ann.
Everybody, welcome to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. We're airing live from Artist First World Radio. Time to sit back, relax, grab a glass of wine or a martini, sit in your most comfortable chair, put on your best high heels, those high heels that you never wear out because you can't walk in them. Relax and enjoy our show because we have some cool guests on tonight. Our first guest is Tarina Tarantino, and then we have Greg Binkley joining us. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Lisa. What a fun day today. It was like a whirlwind, wasn't it?
Yeah, my head's spinning.
It's always fun getting ready for the show.
Yes, it is. And our first guest is really cool because what do girls like more than jewelry and makeup? That's like the two coolest things, right?
Isn't exactly.
Just, every girl, well, girly girls like that kind of stuff anyway. I know I do, and you do.
Yes.
And Betty Ann does. We all love that kind of stuff. So let me introduce our first guest. Since 1995, famed designer Tarina Tarantino has been inspiring the masses with her special brand of opulent nostalgia. Known for her shocking pink hair and her fearless creativity, Tarina invites people everywhere to liberate their imagination and embrace a sense of wonder with her jewelry and cosmetic collections. And she's going to tell us about her Power Girl collection. Welcome, Tarina.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I love this. I love talk radio, but I just love the idea of, you know, girls sitting around talking about the things that they love, like jewelry and makeup.
I know. You have a cool job.
I have a pretty amazing job, I have to say. I feel very fortunate. I always say I have to pinch myself because I'm living my dream. Not that some days aren't, you know, challenging, but I love what I do.
Now, what came first, the jewelry or the makeup? What were you interested in first?
Well, it's kind of funny because it's one thing before the other and then the other. I have always made jewelry. It's something that I've done since I was a child. It's mm-hmm. been like my creative outlet. When I was little, I would get vintage pieces of jewelry, take them apart and put them back together. And as a teenager, I made all of my own jewelry. My first career, I was a model. I was living in Europe and modeling, still making my jewelry, selling it to other stylists and makeup artists and things like that. But when I quit modeling, I became a makeup artist. And I had a really wonderful career doing makeup for a long time, but never stopped with my jewelry design work. So at a certain point, the jewelry turned into a business, and I had to give up the makeup. But I always knew in the back of my head that one day I wanted to take what I did with jewelry and inspired by my whole sparkling world and create a cosmetic line. So everything has kind of come together in the last 2 years, and it's just been incredible.
So tell us about your Power Girl collection. Is that your newest collection?
Oh, the Parlor Girl collection is one of our latest collections that released in October. We also have a wonderful pink ribbon collection for breast cancer awareness that's out this month. And we also have always in October, I release some really great gothic collections. And this year we have zombie skulls that we just released. So there's a lot going on. Parlor Girl is a collection that was inspired by my collaboration with Paul Mitchell that I did. It's coming out in November, which is I collaborated with them to create a line of pro hair tools, and I created all their holiday gift sets that they sell every year, and the proceeds go to Boys and Girls Club. So it was an incredible collaboration, and it really inspired me because I thought about you know, the world of hairstylists and hair artists. And I, of course, you know, I mean, you guys have probably seen pictures of me. I have shocking pink hair, and I love my hairstylist, and I love hairstylists. So I thought, why not do a jewelry collection that was inspired for them? And so that's where the Parlor Girl collection came about.
Very girly.
Yes, very girly. I mean, I have my girly side. I kind of have my more mod side, and I definitely have my gothic side, too. So I have all of those things and more, and I'm always discovering, you know, new things, and the collections are constantly evolving. But, you know, I am just very passionate about self-adornment and jewelry, and I feel like sometimes people think of jewelry as an afterthought. For me, it is the main event. It is, I create my my outfits every day around what jewelry I'm going to wear. So, you know, it's a little bit different for me in my world.
Now, do you wear a necklace, a bracelet, an earring, a ring? You wear everything every day, or depending on your mood, or?
It does. It depends on my mood, and it depends on what I'm wearing. You know, sometimes more is more, and you just a really big stack of bracelets and bangles, you know, and a great pair of earrings. I mean, you know, I also like balance. So if you're wearing a really huge pair of chandelier-style earrings that are a real statement, you might not need a necklace. But it might be great to stack on the bracelets. And, you know, if you're wearing one big cocktail ring, then you might just want to wear a great necklace to complement it and some smaller earrings. It's all about balance, but it also depends. It really depends on what you're wearing. And, you know, that's one thing I'm always talking to my fans are asking me all the time, how should I wear jewelry? And so that's actually something that I'm addressing right now and working on for my for a book that I'm working on. So
okay.
More about that on the next interview.
Right. Now, where can our listeners find your jewelry? I know your makeup is in Sephora.
Yes, we are exclusively at Sephora with the beauty collections.
Mm-hmm.
Which is wonderful.
Where is your jewelry sold?
And my jewelry is sold in better boutiques all over the country and around the world. I also have a store on Melrose Avenue in New York. And, of course, anybody anywhere can find my jewelry at my website, which is TarinaTarantino.com.
Oh, cool. Now, how long have you had pink hair? Because you're gorgeous.
Thank you.
Beautiful face.
Well,
and the pink hair works for you.
You know, it's funny. I always tell people that the day I dyed my hair pink, which was, I think it's about 13 years now. I'm going on 13 years that
really?
I have pink hair. Yes, because my husband and I are about to celebrate our 12-year wedding anniversary, Alfonso and I. And I dyed my hair pink a year before that. So 13 years of pink hair. And, you know, it was just one of those things where I always wanted it. I was kind of evolving that direction. I had chunks of red in my hair. And the day that I decided to go completely fuchsia, it was kind of like that scene in The Wizard of Oz when you kind of go from a black and white world into color.
Uh-huh.
And it just felt right. And it's kind of, I kind of felt like it, I kind of became the person I was meant to be with my pink hair. And I just loved it. And it's a way to live color. I don't do it to be punk rock or to be. I really just did it because I love the color and then it stuck and now it's my trademark. So it's going to be with me for a very long time, probably forever.
And it's very very pretty.
It's really fun. I'll tell you. Normally, I always get a great reaction from people. But my favorite story is I was standing in line one day at a bakery and this woman turned around and looked at me and said, "Well, you must really work for somebody who's, you know, who doesn't mind that you have that hair color." And I said, "Well, actually, my boss has the same color hair as I do, so it's, you know, it's no problem, of course, because I work for myself."
Right. That's always a good thing. What? Tell us what about your makeup now. What's special about your makeup?
Well, when I stopped doing makeup full-time, all I could think about is all of the formulations that I was never able to find as a makeup artist. And so when I got the opportunity to create my beauty line, I took all of those ideas and I infused it into the collection. And, you know, first of all, I wanted to address sparkle and shimmer because I feel like in the incredibly huge field of beauty, there is there's a lot of glitter products. There's a lot of products that you know, I wanted to create a sparkle product that could be used by women of all ages, and a micro shimmer that was kind of like tiny jewels for your skin. So my first product that has become just a runaway hit was Sparklicity, and it's a shimmer dust that comes in. It looks like a perfume bottle. It's a flacon, and it has a poof. And it is an absolutely micro shimmer that just looks so beautiful on the skin. So from that, I've created Sparklicity lip glosses and a whole Sparklicity franchise within the beauty line. But then I also want makeup that's going to perform. I mean, I'm a busy girl. I have a business to run. I'm a mom, a wife, you know, just like, you know, all you other ladies out there. You know, we have a lot going on. You want makeup that's going to perform for you, that you're going to put on in the morning, that's going to stay on all day, that's going to feel good on your skin, and highly pigmented, and also things that you're going to be able to throw in your makeup bag and are going to work for you. When I created my makeup brushes, I had them, they're dipped in fuchsia lacquer, so they're wood-handled brushes, but they're bright pink, so you can find them in your makeup bag, and they are an amazing quality and so soft on your skin. And so, you know, I just think about the little details of things that are going to work for girls, and also packaging that's really beautiful. So when you pull it out of your purse, it's something that you're proud to show off. And, you know, I think that's something that people don't often think about. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but number one is I am every single day working on the formulations and working with the labs, and I'm just so thrilled and so excited about the beauty collection, and I just it's been doing phenomenal, and I'm releasing a lot of new product in the next few weeks, and I urge everybody to go out to Sephora and check it out.
Yeah, you have a nice little display. It was very eye-catching when I was in Sephora. Beautiful.
Thank you. It's really, you know, and everything, I mean, I've designed everything right down to the displays, you know, because it's very important. You know, I wanted, what I love is that my jewelry appeals to, I always say girls of all ages, because we're all girls inside. And so I have a really broad audience for my jewelry. I wanted the same thing for the makeup. You know, I wanted something that, you know, a girl in her 20s might love, and then girls, you know, of any age would love. And products that would work on all skin types. So those are things that are very important, and I just am a beauty junkie. I love makeup, so it's so exciting to have my own line that I get to dream up the products that I can't find and bring them to life. And I found that there's a lot of girls out there looking for the same thing, so it's been fantastic.
Now, how long has your makeup been out in Sephora? How long has it been there?
We're going on our second year, so it's still relatively new. We just went through another evolution of the brand, and so we've released some new packaging, some new components. I have a brand new lipstick, which is a conditioning lip sheen, which is just the most luxurious, wonderful lipstick. And, so it's been there for 2 years, and it's just been so fun. And I have enjoyed so much having, you know, working with Sephora and having the line exclusively there is just, it's really great, because it's like a beauty playground, and it's a place where I always went to look for makeup, so I'm really excited that we're in Sephora.
What do you think about red lipstick?
Oh, well, I love red. Now, I usually, for me, because of, you know, my hair color, I'll wear a red that has a little more pink in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think red lipstick is great. And I, you know, I'm not one of those people who says, well, if you're wearing red lipstick, you have to have very little eye makeup on. You know, I think that you can wear red lipstick with a smoky eye, or you can wear it with a very dramatic cat eye. You know, there's many different ways that you can wear red lipstick. But red is always that lipstick that you can throw on, and it's just going to make you feel sexy and beautiful and sophisticated in 2 seconds. So, you know, I'm a really big fan of lipstick. I love lipstick, and that's mostly what I wear. I'll wear lip gloss. I'll layer lip gloss on top, but I always have my lipstick with me, because I feel like if there's only two things that you have when you're running out the door, it's your mascara and your lipstick.
I agree with you. a little concealer too.
Little concealer is important, exactly. So we'll say three things.
Right.
Well, hi, I'm Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Well, we're very excited about all your makeup, especially. We love looking at your conditioning lip sheen, the different colors. Are there different colors this fall?
Yes, I did. I added two colors this fall, and one is called Pink Elephant Parade, and then the other one was Neapolitan Lane. And, you know, just I did add in two more colors, but the most important thing is that I just wanted to create a range of colors that was going to be wearable for most women and most skin tones. So, you know, there really is something in there for everyone. My favorite everyday lipstick is Queen Alice, which is just a great, very neutral color that you can just throw on no matter where you're going. And it's just really easy. And it's the lipstick formulation that I always wanted and could never find was one that you don't really need a mirror to put it on. You can just throw it on, and it's going to make your lips feel good, and it's long-lasting. So it's not something that you have to sit in the mirror and fuss with.
Well, that sounds fabulous. Now, how do you think of all the names for your lipstick, for example? You know, Queen Alice and your other names.
That is, I will be perfectly honest, that is the most fun part.
Is it?
Yes, is when we sit around at the Sparkle Factory and we think of the names. And, you know, all of them come from something happening in my world, whether it be the Sparkle Factory or home. And I live in Hollywood. I call it Hollywood Wonderland. I live in the Hollywood Hills. And, you know, everything comes from something in my world or one of my jewelry collections, so, or just things that I love. But naming the products is really half the fun. And I think it's important because, you know, when people love a color and they see the name, you want it to inspire them. You want them to think about something or conjure up an image. And so, you know, the names are important. And I never just say, oh, just name it this. My assistant, Karima, would tell you that we really fuss over the names for hours and hours sometimes, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, speaking of Karima, we sure have fun emailing back and forth with her. She's wonderful.
Thank you. I have my team back at the factory called, I call them Team Sparkle, and they are just incredible. And yes, Karima is, she's my girl. She keeps me going every day.
Well, that's great. Well, I was especially interested in asking you about your Doll Skin Chic palette.
Yes, Doll Skin. Doll Skin is my Doll Skin blushes are a formulation. They're very micronized, and so a little bit goes a long way. You get a lot of pigment payoff, and they are just, you know, the colors that I always wanted that I couldn't find. So the Doll Skin blushes they have been such a hit, and people love them because they love the fact that they're extremely blendable. You don't have to reapply 10 times a day, and, you know, and they, of course, you know, they're in five great colors that work for everyone.
And are you suggesting to put it not on the apple of our cheeks, but perhaps up higher on our cheekbones, or what are you recommending?
I like the apple of the cheek. You know, when you smile, and just the top part of your cheek that kind of pushes out when you smile, that's where I always start with my blush, and I blend back. Because I feel it's more useful if you use your blush, which is your color. I'm not talking about contour, because contour, if we want to contour our face, that's a different thing. But for a blush, I feel like it really belongs right on the apple of your cheek and blended back. Because that gives you, I call it a doll cheek, and it gives you a more youthful glow and, you know, more natural blush. So that's where I like to apply blush.
Well, they're lovely colors. How did you come up with the colors that you would put into your Jewel Shadow palette?
Again, color combinations that I have looked for, that I want, but also thinking about, you know, I love to do eyeshadow palettes where we do like really bright, outrageous colors, and I do those seasonally. In fact, I just finished working on my summer palette for next year, which I wish I could tell you about, but we'll save that for another call. For my Jewel Shadow palettes, really inspired by some of the jewels that I use in my jewelry collections, but in shades that are extremely wearable for everyone. So, you know, any of these palettes will work on anybody. And, you know, just so I just put my favorite colors into each one and then package them in a way where it's just easy to pop in your purse, carry with you. My compacts are an oval shape because when you have an oval mirror and you look into it, you can see your whole face. You can see both of your eyes. So I much prefer an oval mirror to a round mirror when I'm putting on my makeup, and that's why I designed the compacts that way.
Oh, that's very lovely. Now, speaking of, again, back to your jewelry, I was really interested in how did you ever think about doing, you know, the Glinda, my pretty items. How did you think of doing with Glinda?
Well, you know, I have been really fortunate because I have gotten to work with some of the most incredible, iconic brands and characters that I grew up with and love, from Hello Kitty to Barbie to Wizard of Oz. Warner Brothers approached me and asked me if I'd be interested to co-brand with them on a Wizard of Oz-themed collection. So we took it one step further and created a book to go along with it, a catalog collection book, and we called the collection My Pretty, and I've created this jewelry collection, which was just, it was so much fun because it was taking one of my all-time favorite movies, The Wizard of Oz, and turning it into jewelry for grown-ups. And it was incredible. So that's really how that happened. But it's something that I feel so proud and honored to be able to do.
Well, I love it. I was especially drawn to the triple row Glinda bracelet.
Oh, the Glinda, yes, with the opalescent bubble beads, which are beautiful because it just tells the story. You know, because for me, when I design jewelry and when I'm creating my cosmetic products, I want everything that I make to tell a story and to inspire. So I feel like it's, you know, very important to, you have to pick things out and try to tell a story through the jewelry. And I think with Glinda, you especially get it with those beautiful opalescent bubble beads.
Well, they look like they're fun to wear. It would be fun to wear that to see the Broadway play Wicked.
And you know, I took my girls to see Wicked when it was here in L.A., and we wore all of our My Pretty jewelry, and yeah, we were stopped quite a bit.
Oh, that's nice. Well, Lisa and I just really love your website. It was so much fun to click on your book and read your beautiful story and see the pictures.
Well, that section, the Tarina's World section of the site, is my favorite section, and I hear that a lot from our fans. They love to go in there and see the story of how we started and how our business evolved. And you know, I'm very fortunate. My business partner and the CEO of our company is my husband, Alfonso, who is not only incredibly business savvy, but incredibly creative as well. And so we both had the same creative vision, and it has just been such a joy building this brand together. And, you know, when there's challenges, it's like we just face it together, and it's, I can't imagine having another business partner. And we have a lot of fun, too. So.
And did I read today when I was clicking on your book that he himself is an artist?
Yes, he is. He is, his true passion is filmmaking, and that's something that we are embarking on more now. But he is an artist himself, and really, and what I love is that he's also somebody who loves and understands fashion, so we're in this world where, you know, if he comes into the design department and I can say, well, this is the next collection we're working on, and he has, you know, he has a great eye and he has a great suggestions. And so we really share everything and work on everything together. I mean, I'm also very involved in the business side of things because I'm not one of those designers who's going to throw my arms up and run out of the room when somebody starts talking business, because I want to know. You know, and I enjoy it, actually, you know, because we approach it creatively. And I think that a lot of times people just think, well, business has to be boring. And actually, no. If you approach it in a more creative way, you'll find you'll be more successful and you'll enjoy it more. So, you know, we do everything together. Plus, we have two beautiful girls. So we've got a lot going on.
And that sounds like fun. I bet your daughters, Chloe and Olivia, love to do the jewelry with you.
They love it. Any opportunity to come to the Sparkle Factory, come into the design lab, sit at the work table with the rest of my team and make jewelry is just their favorite thing to do, and it's something that, you know, we just have so much fun, and it's really great to see how inspired they get and to see, you know, how creative they are already and just naturally, you know, not that I don't bring them in there and say, oh, you need to do this or that. I just kind of let them go, and the things they come up with are, you know, it's amazing. So
well, it sounds like a side business to me. That'd be fun.
It is.
Your new project. Well, we enjoyed your butterfly journal and reading about your blog, and it's just wonderful. You've been a delightful guest, Tarina. We enjoy having you back again sometime.
Well, thank you, and I invite everybody to definitely check out the website and our butterfly journal, like you were saying, so you can learn more about the brand, as well as our Facebook page, and to follow me on Twitter so you can hear about all the things we're doing. We have a lot of stuff coming up in the next year, and a lot of exciting projects. So we want to make sure we keep everybody informed as to what's going on.
And we are advertising you on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website so our listeners can easily find you as well.
Great.
We're tweeting. Our tweet is Chit Chat Cafe RS, and it's just been delightful to have you as our guest. Please join us again.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Have a great night,
and
it was wonderful chatting with you.
Yeah,
thank
we'll have
you.
You on again when you have your new project coming out. Let us
I
know.
Will.
Keep in touch.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. Well, we're going to take a commercial break. We would like to thank our sponsor, St. Croix Orthopedics and Laura Geller Makeup. Stay tuned. We will be joined by Greg Binkley.
And now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark.
Welcome back, everyone. What an honor. We are so excited. We're being joined by Greg Binkley, who currently plays Barney on the popular Fox sitcom Raising Hope. It also stars Cloris Leachman, but tonight we're just thrilled. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Nancy. I'm really thrilled to be on the show as well.
We are very excited to talk with you.
Well, it's not often I get to talk to former NFL cheerleaders after dark, so this is a highlight for me.
Here we are. We're cheering.
Great. I'm glad to hear it.
Oh, you have quite a background, especially with a lot of comedy. I do have to admit that I did watch the nerd movies.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, it was actually Revenge of the Nerds 3, where I had the main role of the new generation of nerds, and then also I was in Nerds 4. But thankfully, I haven't had to play a nerd since then. Oh, wait a second. I guess I've played nothing but since then. But
no.
But yeah. Well, I'm glad you watched that. They still show that on HBO and so forth quite often. So I still hear from people that have seen the movie.
Yeah, it's always
very trendy to be nerdy. Nerdies are considered very sexy and and cool these days, you know.
Well, if spoken from a cheerleader, I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, they end up ruling the world, right? Look at Bill Gates and guys like that.
Absolutely.
Right.
So what's it like to be Barney on Raising Hope? I watched it the other night.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, it's really great. We're about to be back up after the baseball playoffs, and that's when you'll see me a lot, including in the opening credits. But it's really great. The creator of the show, Greg Garcia, had me on his previous show, My Name is Earl. And when he was looking to put this show together, he said he wanted somebody funny at the grocery store. And so he put me on the pilot. I just had a couple of lines. But the last season, they kept using me and using me and ended up doing 13 episodes. And so then as we started season two, they've given me a contract moving forward. And I'm thrilled. Like you mentioned, Cloris Leachman's on the show and Martha Plimpton and Garrett Dillahunt and Shannon Woodward and Lucas Neff, a lot of great, talented people. And I'm just thrilled to be a part of a show. You know, not only the people really like, but that they respect, because it's, you know, it's really a well-done show.
And how much fun is it working with Cloris Leachman?
Well, it's really great. I'm actually learning a lot from her, too, because she's so unpredictable, and I've talked to her a little bit about it, and I see she's always trying to come up with something that's interesting, you know, that's not necessarily on the script, but she's always doing something that's entertaining, including in the dressing room not too long ago, she mooned me. Yes, she mooned me. 83-year-old woman mooning me. It's something I've had to deal with since then. But but she's totally fearless, and that's part of the charm of her. You know, she will do anything for a laugh, and thankfully she's on our show because she brings a lot of laughs.
Oh, that's really fun.
Yeah.
And I did love you. You were Kenny James, right, on My Name is Earl?
Right, yeah. You know, in the pilot of that show, I was the first one that Earl knocked off of his list because he used to pick on me as a child. And yeah, then that was a one-time thing that ended up, I think I did around 20 episodes of that. And so that ended up being great. And in fact that particular episode won Emmys for the writer, director, and casting director. So it was a really well-received show. And, you know, Greg Garcia, thankfully, is somebody that's used me often in some of his shows. And this is the best break of all to get on Raising Hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful show, and it's prime time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're on Tuesday nights. Last year it was after Glee. This year it's after The New Girl, which is doing great in the ratings for Fox. And, you know, it's a real great comedy block that the network's very excited about. And you know, I'm glad as the second year has come that the audience continues to build for Raising Hope. You know, I've had so many people say, oh, I've heard such good things about that show, and they haven't quite checked it out, but more and more people are checking it out now. And you know, I'm hoping maybe next year come Emmy time. We had two nominees this past year, Martha Plimpton.
Oh, wow.
Martha Plimpton and Cloris Leachman were both nominated for Emmys. Hopefully the show will be as well this coming up year.
Now, how do you like playing the detective?
Where did I play a detective? I'm trying to remember that one.
I'm trying to think, too. I'm looking here at my notes. I have a picture of you as a detective.
Well, you might be talking about Barney Fife. I used to act like Barney Fife from the Andy Griffith Show. As a matter of fact, I played Don Knotts in a movie about Three's Company.
And that's the unauthorized story behind the scenes, behind the camera?
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, it was very interesting. I'd played Barney Fife in various shows, a late-night show on ABC, and so forth. So when the Don Knotts role came out, they sought me out, and I played the role. And then when we went to the screening of the film, Don Knotts was sitting there by himself, and so I sat next to him, me and my wife. And then the next thing you know, they open the curtains, they start watching the movie, and I'm sitting next to Don Knotts while I watch me play him. It was quite an honor. And when the movie was over, he leaned over, he says, "Well, you did me proud."
Oh, you sounded just like him.
Well, it's a gift. You know, as a matter of fact, if you ever want to come to Mayberry some Sunday, you know, Aunt Bee has Sunday brunch. It's as good as can get.
Oh, now, wouldn't that be fun if they remade Mayberry RFD?
Yeah, that would be good. I've certainly done the research to to play Barney. But it's interesting, my role on Raising Hope, my character is named Barney. So I think that was a little bit of an influence that Greg Garcia thought of me for that.
Well, a lot of people love also Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel.
Mm-hmm.
You were the MC.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I have a 6-year-old son, and he thought that was pretty amazing to see me up on the big screen with the Chipmunks.
I bet.
Yeah, so that was good. I worked with Betty Thomas. She was the director on that. And, you know, that movie's done over $500 million worldwide. It's just a phenomenon how popular those Chipmunks movies have become. And, yeah, that's something I get so many friends, you know, my son's in school, and their friends come up, hey, I saw your daddy on the Chipmunks movie. So
yeah, that's darling.
So that was really neat.
Chipmunks are really cute. Now, is that something that you think about because you have a 6-year-old son, you know, what roles you'd like to play?
You know, that's definitely something that comes into mind. But on the other hand, as an actor, you know, it's you're happy to take work when you can get it. But, you know, I'm glad to be on a show like that I can definitely show them. You know, Raising Hope is a pretty family-friendly show as well, but, you know, it is on a little bit later at night. I guess we push the envelope a little bit for the adults to enjoy, too. But, yeah, it's something that, you know, I continue to keep in mind, and hopefully as my career progresses, I'll continue to play roles that, you know, I can show my kids as well.
Well, that's exciting. Now, did I read that you are from Kansas?
Yeah, I'm originally from Topeka, Kansas, and went to the University of Kansas. And, you know, I did a lot of shows in high school and things like that, but I actually got to where I was really too nervous before performances to continue to act. So I went to KU and got my degree in advertising. But then as I thought about what I wanted to do for my career, you know, it always being an actor is the thing that I felt I needed to do. So after college, I loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly Hills, that is. You know, came out here really not knowing anybody and not knowing how to make it as an actor. But somehow in the back of my mind, I always knew I would. And as the years have progressed, I've made my living for a long time. But it literally took me 25 years to become a regular on a national network show, which was always my goal. So I'm a overnight, over quarter decade success, I guess you'd say.
Now, how long were you there in the Beverly Hills area, you know, in the L.A. area, before you found an agent?
You know, it took about 3 years. I worked at a restaurant called Ed DeBevick's. It was a real popular restaurant at the time. It was a 50s diner. And literally everybody, you know, as anybody would come to it. It was like walking into the 50s as you walk into the restaurant. And so I played a nerd there with a kick me hard sign on my back, you know. But later the manager said, you know, would you consider walking around as if you're the security guard for the restaurant, Barney Fife? And so that's how I really started to develop Barney Fife. I would walk around table to table to make sure everybody was safe.
I loved it.
Yeah, and so that's actually where I got my agents. They saw me there performing, and that's how I got all my agents, and that's really where my career started to take off. And one day Rick Dees came in, the radio DJ, and he had a late-night show on ABC, and he saw me. So he put me on that late-night show, and that's where my career took off. The Nerds movie came after that, and then a number of you know, various TV shows, and for people that are listening from, you know, Southern California and so forth, I was the spokesman for Del Taco for 6 years out here, so that was another a big break, but the Raising Hope's been the best break of all so far.
Well, that's exciting. And now just think, Barney can say that he's talked with former NFL champions.
Exactly. Believe me, I'll be bragging about it. I'm literally talking to you from the set. I just rehearsed a scene, and I came up to talk to you, and then I'm going to go down and shoot it, so I will definitely be telling everybody about this. Yeah,
that's fun. What's the set look like?
Well, you know, I work in the grocery store, so largely I'm on the grocery store portion of the set. But we have a studio to ourselves. 20th Century Fox produces the show, but our set is up in Chatsworth, California. And so we have various sets here, but then we also do a lot of location things as well. So it's a really amazing set. If you go onto the grocery store set, how authentic everything is, even the smallest of details, which you'll never see on TV. They really do an amazing job of making it look realistic.
How long does it take you to, like, rehearse? How do you rehearse with a script and you know, Hal, is that hard?
You know,
can he do it weekly? I mean, is it?
It's pretty interesting. I mean, it's a well-oiled machine now. You know, we get a script.
Well, how the process works to our listeners.
Yeah, well, we get a script, you know, and matter of fact, today we had a read-through for a script that we're going to do about a month from now, and after the writers hear how it's playing and what's getting the laughs, what's not, then they'll rewrite it. And then, you know, the week before we work, they actually send us the script. And so then with the scene that I'm about to do now, we have that scene, and we'll play it out. The director will direct how he wants us to do it. Then we take a break while they light everything. And then they'll shoot my coverage, they'll shoot me for a while, then they'll shoot the Sabrina character, the Jimmy character, and that's kind of how they do it. And it's really, when you're working in TV or even movies, you know, what you're doing as an actor is really providing raw footage that the editor later creates the performance from. So, you know, it's really interesting. I mean, you really have to just give them something to work from, but you're not actually really making a full scene while you're doing it. You're just playing out your portion of it here, you know, with the other actors off camera, and then later they put it all together and make it work.
How long does it take you to memorize a script for a show, for a given show?
Well, it depends on how much I have to say, but, you know, I really try to come in every time completely prepared. So after a while, you get used to where you can kind of just go ahead and read it and then have it memorized in an hour or so if need be. But I usually get the script the week before, and I work with a friend, make sure that I'm totally prepared. So, you know, it varies, but, you know, give me a day, and I can have it down pretty good.
What's it like? Fill us in on a day on the life of a set, you know, of a TV show. Like, what do? You go right into makeup when you get there, or to eat something? Like, how does it work? Are you in a trailer? Like, what? Set the scene for us.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, you show up, and you do go to makeup right away, and they try to make you look pretty as best they can. Some people like me, it takes a little extra effort, but then after that, you go to they always have great catering, and you do that, and then you sit in your trailer or your room until they're ready for you, and then you go and you rehearse, and then like I say, you go back to your room while they light, and a stand-in stands in for you during that time, and then when you go back out, you're ready to shoot. So, you know, you got to be ready when the moment's here. Sometimes they're fighting against the sun going down or something like that, and they're really counting on you to nail your performance in that moment. But the good thing about film is that they can do it over and over again. There's times when I've been on live shows like The Rick Dees Show, or even I was on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and, you know, when you're doing that, you gotta nail it in one take.
Right, right. Did you ever do something, like, really embarrassing on the set?
Nothing too embarrassing. I do remember one time, though, when I was on The Rick Dees Show, where, remember I told you back in high school I would literally get sick before I performed, and I remember one time right before I was about to come on live, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get sick, and I thankfully overcame it, so that didn't become something of video lore that I had to live down the rest of my life, but nothing too embarrassing that I can think of. Cloris Leachman is always doing something a little embarrassing here, but I won't pass that on here.
Well, we can imagine, because we watched her on Dancing with the Stars.
Right. No, but she really is terrific. I mean, she's a legend. You know, she's won 9 Emmys and 2 Academy Awards.
Yeah, very talented.
Oh.
If they asked you to be on Dancing with the Stars, would you do it?
Well, I don't think at this point I have the dexterity to do it, but I've seen some of the performers on there, so maybe I do. But hopefully I won't have to do that. So maybe in 20 years when I'm looking to get back in the public eye.
So now what do we have to look forward to for the future for you? What are you going to be doing? What are your plans?
Well, you know, we got Raising Hope. You know, we're picked up through this season, and hopefully it'll last many, many more years. So I'm mostly focused on that, doing voiceover things as well. I'm going to be in a movie called, Escape from Planet Earth, that's going to come out next summer, but it's always looking for films and things like that. So the career will continue to build, but you know, I'm so grateful to get on such a great show like Raising Hope, and I really hope people will continue to watch it. The great thing that I hear is people are telling me, "Oh, I told my friends, and now my friends are totally hooked." It's really a great thing, because you know, as an actor, you want to just work, you want to be on any show, but to be on a show that people actually really love, like this one. It's just an honor, and so this is really my main focus right now.
Is your wife in the film business as well?
You know, I met her actually in acting class. She's actually from Japan originally, And yeah, and so I was doing a scene in my acting class where I had to use chopsticks. I'd never used them before. Being from Kansas, I used to use two hands for chopsticks instead of one, you know. And I didn't know how to use them. Somebody said, well, she could probably help you. And so that's how I got introduced to her. And we've been married now 8 years. I have a couple of kids. I've been to Japan 7 times. So, yeah, that's really been quite an eye-opening experience, the foods and stuff that I eat there. But now, she's an actress, too, but, you know, hasn't gotten as much work lately. But she's wonderful and a great mom for our kids and, you know, really
that's,
grateful.
That's the important thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
I guess you like sushi.
Oh, well, I do. I love sushi now. I never had it till I met her. But, you know, one time when I was in Japan, actually, I had told my father-in-law that I like fresh food, and that's why I didn't like leftovers too much. Well, there was a lost in translation on that. When we got to Japan, he took me to a squid restaurant where they serve the squid sashimi the way they serve it here, only it was on top of the two squids from which it came, and they were still alive.
Oh.
It was horrific. And so I must have gasped so loud that they eventually took the squid back and made it into calamari, which I guess was the plan for the squid. It was a rough day for the squid all around, but I never knew I could feel bad for a squid, but I did that day. So, yeah, it's different food likes over there. And they serve raw chicken. I eat raw chicken when I'm there. So
why?
Well, it's a delicacy, I guess. You know, they serve it kind of like the same as sashimi. You know, you put a little bit of soy sauce on it, onions or whatever. It actually tastes pretty good. But, you know, I grew up being as plain of an eater as possible, and I've come a long way. It's amazing.
You're from the Midwest.
Exactly. I was meat and potatoes, and now I'm eating live things. It's it's amazing what love will do.
Now, what about seahorses? I was just reading, watching a special that they like to incorporate seahorses in their delicacies.
You know, I've never seen that, and I don't think I want to.
No.
But we're actually going to go there in a couple of months. I'll have to ask about that. Yeah.
They were using it, like, in some of their medicines and foods and going so far to say that it acts like a Viagra.
Really? Wow. Well.
Seahorses.
That's interesting.
Who knew?
I'll do some research. Next time I talk to you, I'll let you know.
We always like to give nice tidbits to our listeners.
Yeah, thank you. Helpful hint for those
right,
of you
right, right.
following at home.
Now, do people over there recognize you from TV?
Yeah, quite a bit. You know, the show's become more and more popular, and yeah, a lot of people commenting on it. And actually, from My Name is Earl, too, because the reruns run so often. They run a couple of times every day. I get a lot of comments on that. But yeah, the show is becoming more and more popular, and you know, it's nice to have people come up and tell me how much they love the show. So it's a good thing.
And what do your kids think of all this?
You know, my son, you know, he's just 6 now. He's always wondering, why do people keep coming up to you, you know?
Aww.
It's a little curious to him. You know, like I say, these commercials I used to do for Del Taco out here was a very popular campaign, and people used to stand in line for a long time to get a picture with that character. I kind of wish he had seen that. That really would have surprised him. But
was that like a fast food restaurant, Dolson, for those of us that live on the East Coast?
Yeah, it's kind of like Taco Bell. It's a fast food restaurant that serves Mexican food, too, and I just played a goofy character. You know, on my website, gregbinkley.com, I have a retrospective of those commercials along with my other reel and stuff like that. It was a real popular campaign, just a goofy character that kept, you know, messing up, but it really ended up being a long six-year running campaign. So
there you go. A steady paycheck's always good.
Absolutely. It's a rarity for an actor. And I've been very, very fortunate all these years to continue to get more and more work. And, you know, that's the goal. And I've been very, very fortunate.
Well, what is another goal that you have? Maybe to do some drama? Or?
Yeah, definitely. I would like to do more and more drama. I've you know, in my acting class, people always said that was my best work, but I kind of have gotten known for comedy, so that's what I largely do. But yeah, I'd definitely love to do some more drama. I was in a Coen Brothers movie years ago, and I'm the man who wasn't there, and I'm hoping, you know, I'll get another opportunity for them. I was in a movie with that Clint Eastwood directed called The Changeling, and that was a heavy drama, but I didn't have a huge role in that. But, you know, I'd like to do more and more dramas as well, you know, just to show more what I can do. But, you know, you just kind of ride the wave and see where the next wave takes you.
Exactly. Now, which do you enjoy most, say, the sitcom on TV or the movies?
You know, I really really appreciate this job I have now because, you know, it's local. I don't have to leave town. And, you know, and each week it's like doing another movie. The scripts are so excellent. So this is really, for me, the most fun. Every day at work is fun. The crew is fun. Everybody in the cast is fun. You know, this is definitely the best. The movies can be a little tedious, and you're working with people that you don't really know, and it's a very brief encounter that you have with these people. But on a TV show, you know, we're in year two now. We're really getting to know each other. It's really a family environment, and I think that comes across also on the screen, you know, that these characters really do love each other and respect each other. Each of these characters on Raising Hope has his own quirks and you know, strange attributes. But, you know, in the end of each episode, after all the funniness, there's always a heartwarming moment at the end where, you know, you really realize these characters all love each other. And, you know, that's kind of the feeling we have on the set here. And that's why I just love this job. I hope it lasts a long time.
Give everyone, our listeners who have never seen the show, give them a synopsis of what the show's about.
Yeah,
you know. A general idea of the dynamic.
Yeah, you know, it's about this young guy who ended up getting a girl pregnant who turns out was a serial killer, and she ends up getting killed, so he ends up having to raise this daughter, Hope, by himself. That's why the movie's called, or the TV show's called Raising Hope. And so he's got kind of a screwed-up family that they're all, you know, not the smartest people. So they're all kind of raising this child together, and now she's actually 1.5. She's the cutest kid. There was a recent survey of the cutest kids of all time on television, and this girl was rated number one. They're actually twins, really cute. And so you just see all the problems and challenges he has, Jimmy, as he tries to raise this daughter of his. And he ended up getting a job at the grocery store, and that's where I'm the manager, Barney, and that's how I interact mostly with him. But, it's just a really, really funny show with a lot of screwy situations that come up. We have a Thanksgiving episode coming before too long. Lee Majors and Shirley Jones are guest stars on that. So that was really neat to work with them. But, like I say, it's just very funny, really well written, and always a heartwarming moment at the end, too. So it's just a great show.
Well, we are really happy for you. You have a lot going on and a lot of things to be proud of.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm very, very fortunate. We had a baby 5 months ago, a baby girl, and they always say something good comes when you have another baby, and this contract for Raising Hope came for me, and so I couldn't be happier.
Oh, that's wonderful. You're delightful. Would you please join us again sometime on Chit Chat Cafe Live?
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime.
Oh, it's great to talk with you, Greg.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. Nancy, it's great talking with you, and I see you've had a lot of great guests. What's that?
Good luck shooting your scene now.
Yeah, thank you. I think they're waiting for me, actually.
Oh, so. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. It's a real pleasure for me.
It's delightful. You'll have to join us again.
All right. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Good day. Good luck. Bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Lisa, wasn't that a fun night to hear about that?
Yeah. Sweetie, he's real cute.
Oh, so fun, you know, remembering all those things that he did and now his success with Raising Hope.
Yeah, that's great. And he seems like a really, really super nice person. That's
Aren't we laughing hearing about Cloris Leachman mooning him?
Yeah, well, she was pretty funny on Dancing with the Stars. I can imagine that happening. I don't think he's exaggerating either.
No. Oh, this has been a delightful night. We would like to thank our sponsors, St. Croix Orthopedics and Laura Geller Makeup. Enjoy our show archives. It's really fun during the day if you're just relaxing. Scroll down our website, find a show that interests you, click on the show date.
And we'd like to thank our guests, Trina Tarantino and Greg Binkley, and our producer, Corey, for doing such a great job for us tonight. And I'd like to leave you with a quote. Love is the same for a poor man and a king. Good night.
Good night.